Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
As was read in our scripture reading in John chapter 15, and particularly I want to focus on verses 13 and 14. We read about, really, our Lord in the scripture reading giving to us a precursor. Really, He's preparing His disciples for an event that is going to occur in which He is going to go through a terrible agony for us. He's going to endure this pain, this agony of the cross. He's going to go through this great time of personal pain and anguish because of the great love that He has for us. We know that Jesus gave His life freely in what is the greatest act of love that man could possibly experience. John 3 and verse 16, we know how our Lord sent His Son and that He chose to die for us. When we talk about John 3 and verse 16, a verse that we all know very well, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That each one of us realizes that there is not one of us any less important than the other, that God's Son would have died just for me if it was just that I was the one that needed Him to do such. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And thanks be to God that we as the Church of Christ have been able to find that wonderful path of righteousness that God has given to us, that we do live through Him. That is the life that we have, and it is the separate from the death of sin that this world lives in and faces today. Jesus here in John 15 verses 13 and 14, He's preparing them for this great sacrifice. He's getting His disciples ready to understand this great act of love that is going to be done in front of them. Given the greatest act of a visual aid that could ever be seen as He freely went to the cross and died for us, teaching them about the great sacrifice that this would entail, teaching them about the price that would be paid for their souls, and the value of every soul that they could ever teach the gospel to. This act of the greatest love possible should help us to understand the depths of the love that should be in our lives toward God and toward one another. We are Christians. We are those who are supposed to be, as the word means, Christ-like. And therefore, as we consider this great act of love that Christ committed on our behalf and on behalf of everyone that has ever lived, we must realize that this is something that we must seek to grow closer in our own acts of love toward every day. We understand the need to be involved in great acts of love. It is something that God expects of us as Christians. We are supposed to be those who love one another, as was read earlier by Brother Philip. These are acts of kindness that help others. Things that are there for others. And you know, just being good moral people, there should be acts of love in our lives. Things that we do. This can be an act to help one another with physical needs. We see someone that does not have clothes, that does not have the proper food. Just like James 2 tells us, you see our brother or sister is naked, destitute, or without food. It's not enough to tell them to be warm and be filled, but instead, we have to act upon it. That there are certain works that show us to be disciples of Christ, that show us to be those who are truly in the Lord's vineyard, truly working for His purposes. We know there are spiritual needs that we must help others meet, in which we seek to do God's will in following through with that wonderful great commission that He gave us in such things as Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And that how, in giving us that commission, that we, if we're going to be obedient to God, that we must be those who are spiritually seeking the well-being of others. That we're helping to support mission works. That we're inviting people to Bible studies, inviting people to church, inviting people to have the opportunity to learn more about God. And what a precious gift this is. How many of us can look in our own spiritual lives, and realize the truth of Titus 2, where the older are supposed to teach the younger, or in some other way, we're a fellow Christian, or maybe at the time we weren't even a Christian, took the time to show us love. And how that we can look at our own spiritual life and see how that they help mold us more into what God wants us to be. What a wonderful thing on the day of judgment to be able to look at some people who helped you to become more as God wants us to be in our Christian lives and be able to go up to them, maybe having already gone into the next world long before we did, and be able to see them at judgment and tell them, thank you. What even joy would it be to be one who heard thank you from someone else? Given to them the love that others have given to us. Often, great love comes from the relationships that we have with others that we have built together as we want them to do well, because over time we have come to know them and to love them from an emotional standpoint. It's easier to love our friends and our family because they love us. Yet as Christians, we're supposed to grow, realizing that there is a greater love that is to be had, a love that is beyond just the relationships that we have through blood and flesh, through the friends that we develop here, understanding that as in Mark 3, verses 31 through 35, when the Lord's mother and stepbrothers and sisters came, and how they came to Him and said, your mother, your brothers, they're outside. And Jesus used that opportunity to say, that's my flesh and blood. But there's a greater relationship that you can have with the spiritual. A relationship that we can have, though we might not be tied together by flesh and blood, but we can have being tied together by Christ. And there's a greater love that each of us can see. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, we're told, greater love hath no man than this, than a man give his life, lay down his life for his friends. That's a very interesting verse to me, because as you examine that verse and you see what Jesus is preparing them for, we see there's a sacrificial love where one is willing to give of themselves for another. We see here Jesus is preparing them for the fact that He's about to lay down His life for them. That He's about to give Himself over to pay the price for their sins, for our sins. And so as you look at this and you see this great sacrifice that's involved, we must also understand the Lord's definition of friend is a little bit different than the definition we as man often use today. Man's standard of the word friend often involves an emotional relationship, as we mentioned, built upon the quality and the quantity of time spent together. And so when we look at that phrase at the end of verse 13 and it says that He gave Himself for His friends, we would often define friends differently than Jesus would. And it helps us to understand the greater love that He has for us if we understand how He defines friends. We as humans are more likely to sacrifice, as we said earlier, for those that we have an emotional bond to. Those that we have been spending time with, as with my mother or my sister or someone like that, my friends, my wife, it's people that I care for because I've spent time with them. And the Bible teaches that in Romans 5 and verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But verse 8 tells us the difference. It tells us about the greater love of God. We'll get to that verse in just a minute. Most individuals would not choose to die for another or sacrifice in a significant way for them, but Christ did. That's what makes Him that wonderful Savior that we can all rely on and trust. That's why we talk about this greatest love, because we can look at friends and family. You know, I'd take a bullet for my wife. I love her. But now if someone else were about to be shot and I didn't know, I might think a little bit harder before I jumped in front of that bullet. Christ did not hesitate. He did not in any way worry about who the person was, because He wanted to save every person. Christ's love is a greater love. Or as this sermon talks about, it's the greatest love. Because of how he defines friend. Look at verse 14 of John chapter 15. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command of you. Notice here how he defines friend. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done. It does not matter where you were born or where you live. You are a Christ's friend if you do whatsoever He commands of you. Whatever the past situation is, if you are willing to obey Christ, if you're willing to follow what He has given to us in His blessed Word, then it is such that you have the opportunity to be this friend that He died for. This means that Christ died for everyone because we can all obey Him. John 8 and verse 32, you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We all can know the truth. We can all be obedient to God's Word. But it's our responsibility to be His friend by obeying the truth, by following through with His will. We find out that truth by looking into God's Word and following it. John 17 and 17, sanctify them through the truth. Thy Word is truth. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Brethren, I love this passage of Scripture. Because in this passage of Scripture, I find out something that is very staggering when we think about it. If you truly consider the implications that are being said here, then we find in this Scripture that every single word in the Bible has been given for the purpose that we would know how to love God and love one another. Every word had that intention. That we would learn how to love one another. That we would learn how to love God by keeping the commandments that He has given to us in that divine Word that has been set out for us and showing us just what it means to follow Christ and be His servant. Every word is then exemplified by the great example that Christ gave. He gives the message. And then you study the message, and within that message you see that this all points to Christ and what He has done for us and showed us that greatest love in His sacrifice on the cross for us. We mentioned earlier Romans chapter 5 and we read verse 7. Let's add a couple verses to that if you would. In Romans chapter 5, begin in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Verse 10 tells us we were enemies with God, and yet His love was still so great. His desire to have your and my precious souls was so great that He still sent His Son to die. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The greatest love that could ever be shown to us was in our Savior coming and dying for us on the cross. Having become Christians, we therefore must seek to be those who follow into that example of the great love of Christ. Those who seek to have that more be a part of our lives every day. That being the case, how can we do that? When 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 through 10, we talk about the Christian virtues. We understand that these are things the Christian is supposed to add to his life. Ways that we're supposed to grow. As you look at those, the very last one is in a King James called charity. It's also translated in the word love. That love is the agape in the Greek. That's the love that God has. The love that caused His Son to die for every person. The love that loves every precious soul and wants every soul to be saved and is one that regards all of us as valuable enough for His Son to die. We are to grow in the love of God, willing to sacrifice of ourselves for His cause, for His people, for the precious souls that His Son died for. Loving those precious souls no matter who they are and willing to do all that we can to help save them. Have you ever considered the preciousness of all the souls around us? That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would give His life for them. Do we truly value the souls the way that He valued ours? Consider how we seek to have this greater love in our lives toward God and man. Consider, by example, the man Paul, and how that he was one who fully gave himself over to God. He was one that presented himself as a sacrifice in his life to be able to serve God and do whatever it took to be the kind of servant that God wanted him to be. In Philippians chapter 3, we have Paul talking about the man he used to be. How that he had been this great Jew of the Jews and went through all these different qualities that he had had, and those things would have made him an upstanding Jew. He would have been a high-rising Jew, someone that would have been looked at and respected very highly. But in verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of" what? All things. He lost everything that used to be important. Everything that he had worked his life to be able to achieve before the time that he had met Christ. And even though he had lost all those things, the last part of the verse says, "And do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." And he says, "And they weren't even worth excrement. They weren't even worth anything compared to the prize that I now have, to the value that I have received in Jesus Christ." And so he says, "I freely give them over because now I realize what is important. I realize what is essential in my life." In Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul tells us, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, he says that we're to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul tells us, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." What had he committed? Himself. His salvation. The joy of life. Understanding that the rewards of the next life were greater than anything that he could have in this life. He gave himself fully over to God. It is interesting as you consider this man Paul, and I think it's something that we should be able to ask of ourselves as well. Paul gave his life to God. Let me ask you a few questions about Paul. Did anyone ever have to ask Paul if he was going to be at worship? Did anyone ever have to ask Paul if he had read his Bible? Did anyone ever have to ask Paul if he was praying to God? If he was inviting people to worship? If he was studying his Bible? Did they ever have to question Paul's commitment to God? Would they ours? Have we given our lives to Christ, seeking to follow the example that His great love gave us? Given ourselves over to His will, realizing that it is a greater will than ours. Paul also was one who fully gave himself to his fellow man. Consider all the miles that Paul walked just to take the gospel to others. Consider all the sandals that he most likely wore bare just to reach a soul. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24, Paul makes the statement, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What do you mean, Paul? We'll continue into verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul knew, as we said in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, who he believed. He understood the promises that had been given in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, and how that there was a rest that waited him, and that he had lived his life in labor to the Lord, and having served the Lord, that he had a great promise before him, and he was ready to receive his reward. He was ready to receive his promise, but then he said, "You need me. God still isn't done with me here. And even though I would rather be with God now," notice the last part here in verse 24, "nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." He considered the needs of his fellow man above himself. He was ready to go. He wanted to be with the Lord. But there was still work to be done. Paul sacrificed his life to the service of others, following the example of Christ. What about us? Do we give our life over to others and sacrifice of ourselves for them? Do we sacrifice of ourselves to be the righteous parents that our children need, understanding verses such as Ephesians 6 and verse 4, that especially with fathers, we're to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they need us to be godly Christian parents, that they need us to do our very best to raise them in that nurture and admonition that we told them that we would when we became obedient to God's Word? Brethren, they need us to love the God, our Lord, enough to sacrifice for them and their cause. What about spouses? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. We see there the Lord was willing to give His life for the church. And it talks about there also husbands and wives. Spouses, are we willing to give of ourselves to help our spouse go to heaven? To make sure that they're on the right path, sacrificing of our own wants or desires or whatever, to make sure that we're the kind of Christian example that they need? Do we sacrifice ease and comfort to seek a soul of a family member or a friend? Sometimes it's easy just to ignore the fact that they're lost. But I had a preacher one time made the statement when I was a teenager that I remember still to this day. He said in a sermon, "Discipline is the greatest love that you can show." And I say outside of the love that Christ has given to us, although He will discipline us. Because He says, if you don't love me enough to discipline me, then you don't love me enough to save my soul, to keep me from hell. You know, sometimes it can hurt our relationships with others. Sometimes it can make difficulties when we're gathered with some of our family and such. But brethren, do they know that we love them enough that we're not just going to sit by idly and watch them as they continue in sin? Christ did not wait idly when we were lost. Will we? Are we going to be those who look to the example that Christ has given us? Those who, seeing that He loved us so much that He allowed nothing to stand in the way, even death itself, ripping that veil between those two, He came back to life and then He went up to heaven, showing us the first fruits that we can be with Him again in all eternity, being those who are in heaven with Him. But do we have that kind of love that we're willing to sacrifice to be there? Are we willing to give of ourselves to help others to be there? Will we follow the example that He gave us in the Bible? Before we can do that to help anyone else, the first thing we must do is make sure that we are right with the Lord. Are you living your life right now taking advantage of the greatest act of love that could ever been given for you? God's Son came to this earth. He died for you. What will you do with that? If you're not a Christian, then I hope tonight that you'll consider what has been given on your behalf by Christ. that you will have faith, that you'll want to change your life or repent, confess and be baptized tonight, become a Christian, and start a life that will allow you to be with Him for all eternity. If you are one who has obeyed the gospel and you've fallen away, then thanks be to God that He didn't give up on you. That blood is still there. You can repent of your sins, be returned to Him, and let us start working toward that great love that He has given and being a better example of it ourselves every day.